dive into my sermon, and I really feel like I need to give you some backstory on this. I was teaching my class not too long ago. In fact, well, it's about 6 months ago. It was in December, just before Christmas rehearsals were ramping up for our young people. I was on lesson 8 of the Foundations for Faith. And I was looking at my notes, and I was working with my students to prepare their 3x5 cards, which I have a passel load here in my back pocket. Their 3x5 cards of Foundation for Faith, Tenet of Faith, that they would memorize, and then a scripture, and so forth. And so the kids were doing that, and I gave them time to work on their cards. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Hey, you're going to preach on this. And get ready, here it comes." And I was like, okay. So I would tell you this. I took out the only blank piece of paper I had in my file, and it was this pink paper right here. And I sat down, and I'm certain, Phil, you can relate to this. I sat down and wrote it down. I mean, I'm telling you, it came to me. And I am not a good writer. I cannot read my handwriting very well. I don't expect you to either. But it was clear and it was crystal. And I was hearing from the Lord. And I was to preach, the next sermon that I was going to preach was going to be on this, Zechariah 4:10, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." And I began to dive into that, and I honestly got scared. And so I was doing a contract job. I'm still working on the sermon. I have the notes right here. This is all you're going to get today. Okay? And I was working on it, and I was like, "Lord, I need your assurance that I'm really on the right track. I've never done something where I've used just a pivotal phrase from Scripture as my entire sermon text." I've been attending a lecture series at Spencer Lake this week by Dr. Debbie Gill, one of my first professors at North Central. But she had a colleague named Mr. Finley, Dr. Finley. And he said, "Friends, I just want you to search for a pericope of Scripture and learn to preach from that." Well, I've been preaching for 35 years, and I've yet to learn how to do that. So here we go. And I was sitting in the parking lot at the Holiday Inn in Milwaukee, and I was conversing with God. And I was just really wrangling with it. And I said, "Lord, I really need to hear from you. I need to know that I'm on the right track." And at that time, I'm praying, and it's a beautiful day out. It's fall time, springtime, and things are melting, and it's going away. And I'm just deep in this conversation with the Lord, and I felt a little something different about my experience. And there was a little bit of a noise off to my right, and a dove descended on the mirror of my pickup as though the Lord were speaking to me and saying, "Yes, I'm giving you a symbol of my Holy Spirit. You're on the right track." And so I looked over, and then the bird flew away, and I thought, "Lord, I got to take a picture of the bird. Would you send it back so people would believe me?" Now, if you look out, there's a parking lot there. You can see the handicap access stall. And the bird flew back and looked in my mirror, and I took its picture so I could share it with you today, because I really believe the Lord wants me to share this with you, okay? So this is something, all right? This is something. Say it with me. This is something. Amen. I like how you're affirming that with me. I want you to understand a couple things. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to speak with you, and he wants to let you know that he's real. God wants to do that. And it's okay when you're going through a difficult time, when you're facing adversity. "Lord, I need to hear from you." Some of you might be here this morning and you feel that same way. I'm involved in the drudgery of life. I feel like everywhere I turn, there's chaos and there's dissonance and things are falling apart. You know, my wife and I are not doing TV this summer. And we don't have the news to greet us every night with disdainful things. But still, there's plenty of ways to look around and find the garbage of the world, right? There's still plenty of ways for that to happen. Well, let me tell you something this morning. As we look into this passage, and I just have several translations that I want to use in reading it to you, and we're going to look at some historical background. We're going to take a little bit of time to really dive through it, and I apologize, I'm going to check my watch, because I want to get you on your way today to celebrate the remainder of this Independence Day weekend. But I want to get you on your way with the sense that the Lord has touched you, that the Lord has refilled you with His Holy Spirit, and that you in some way are equipped to face that thing that some might call a day of discouragement, a day of small things, a day of small beginnings. God wants to meet you here and now where you are. You don't have to elevate yourself. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to smell good. You can come as you are. God wants to touch you today. I believe that with my whole heart. So the New Living Translation says, do not despise these small things. For the people that this was written to, Zechariah is a contemporary of Haggai. Okay, and so they're all happening about the same time, right around 526 BC, full 5 centuries before Christ is going to come to this world. And when you think of Haggai and Zechariah, think of them as being contemporaries. Haggai is a little bit older. Zechariah is a little bit younger. Haggai is the kind of guy who wants to inspire you with a stick. He wants to beat on you. He wants to judge you. He wants to encourage you through, a boot to the butt. He's that kind of guy. Zechariah, on the other hand, is more the exhorter and the encourager. He's the inspirer, if you will. And I'm not sure that's a word, even though I was an English teacher. So I'm not anymore. I'm off the hook. But he wants to inspire us. And I would tell you, Haggai and Zechariah only represent two different sides. They're all shooting toward the same way. And that is to encourage the people of Israel, now that they've come out of bondage 70 years, being trapped by the people of Persia, they're on their way to rebuilding the temple. Zechariah is also a priest, yet he never once offered the sacraments of his priestly duty in a temple, only in people's homes. And so here he is. He's trying to encourage us along. Zechariah happens to be one of the most messianic books of the Bible, portending or speaking of Jesus who is to come to establish his temple on earth and his kingdom on earth and his rule on earth. We look at the NIV version of this. Who dares despise the day of small things? You know, I in another parallel professional job, I do technology stuff. And I was kind of ruminating and thinking about and perseverating over this passage of Scripture. And I came across a slide one day about the small beginnings, like Hewlett-Packard and Harley-Davidson and Apple and Google, and we could go on and on about all of these incredible American companies that are so successful. Cisco, another name you've heard. Oracle, another one. The one thing in common to every company that I've just told you about is that they started out in a garage. Every one of them. And I don't know if you've ever been to Google Campus or One Infinite Way, all of those in Los Angeles or whatever, but they're impressive structures. They're huge, and it's amazing. But they started out in a garage. Imagine if they were despising that day. Ah, we just got a garage. This is not going to amount to anything. They would have stopped right where they were. And I feel like in the church, we want to hear the big story. We want to see the big thing. We want to enjoy the fruits of many people's labor, just like being here in America today. Our foundation has been founded on a group of people who have gone before us, who gave everything that they had, albeit how small it might have been. We think of Jefferson, we think of Adams, we think of Hamilton, we think of Washington, and the list goes on and on. These are big people. And yet, they were surrounded by lots of little people. And those little people, the ones we never really hear about, that's upon which our foundation is founded. We can look at, I like how the Message sometimes translates things. Does anyone dare despise this day of small beginnings? Now, it's not a stretch at all. So, Zechariah is the grandson of Iddo. During Iddo's time on the face of the earth, Iddo actually, as a priest, worshipped and administered the sacraments of the Jewish faith. He administered those things in Solomon's temple. Now, to some of these folks, they're looking at Zerubbabel, who's got his plumb line out, and he's trying to line things up amongst the rubble. Iddo may have been thinking, man, this is just never going to measure up to Solomon's temple. This is never going to measure up. I'm never going to see it. It's not going to happen. And I would imagine that there was a certain level of discouragement that could have overwhelmed the old folks who had been around a while and they had seen a better day. That's why Zechariah needed this word. Hey, don't despise these small beginnings. Don't despise them because we're starting out. I have had a new job most of my life every year on the year. And I started a new job last week where I'm the director of transportation for our school district. So I went from being a bus driver to now I'm the director. I'm starting all over again, and I'm old. And I have the white to show it. I don't wear it as well as Mr. Hammond's, but I have more of it because I've got, this is my Christmas in July look, okay? I'm trying to be Santa. If you doubt there's a Santa, just look at me. Never mind. King James Version, for who hath despised the day of small things? And I began to work through this scripture. And I keep referring to my brother Phil, but Phil, you'll relate to this. You could not share anything from the word of the Lord unless you've dealt with it in your own life, your own self. Amen. And I was sitting at my desk, 4 o'clock Monday morning, and I was like, Lord, I'm starting all over again. And he said, what are you preaching about on Sunday? You see, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I want us to understand something. Small beginnings are not God's punishment. They are God's promise. I took my wife to the doctor. Thank you. I took my wife to the doctor. She was going to go through shoulder surgery. And we've been ramping up for shoulder surgery for 2 months. And they administered a local anesthesia. And her blood pressure spiked and her heart rate went way up. And when I say her blood pressure spiked, it was 220 something over 100 kajillion something underneath. I don't remember that because all I could think about, her heart rate went up to nearly 200 beats a minute and she's laying there. and they gave her a general anesthesia, and it didn't help. And so they put it off. And on the way home, I said to Cindy, I said, Cindy, I don't know why this is happening, but I do know that we ought not despise this, that the Lord is in control, and that we know that he's the author and perfecter of our faith, and that we have a lot to learn from him because of this. We went back and visited the doctor, and he said, now we need to wait because we don't really understand what happened. We've consulted 8 different anesthesiologists. We've looked at some internal medicine things, and there's no reason that giving you a local, you know, like going to the dentist, a local, would cause such a reaction in you. And so we've been applying this to our lives. So I'm telling you that I'm living this as I'm sharing it with you. The World English Bible, indeed, who despises the day of small things? You know, typically as Americans, we despise small things. We're about the big things, right? Robert Rourke was not an American, but he wrote a great book called Use Enough Gun. And the implication is if you want to shoot something, use a big gun. That's what we like. We talk about those things all the time. So I have some points I want to tease out of this. I've given you some history, and I really want to encourage you to dive in this in your own personal study. The backside of this note page is very powerful. And I would just encourage you to look at it because it has a lot to say to us. And this is basic academic view of Scripture here in this breakout. But it's very important for us to get it as we look at this passage of Scripture. So the first thing I want you to realize is that this day of small things, it was a long day. It's estimated that Zerubbabel had been back and had been clearing rubble for over 20 years. When Zechariah shows up and goes, hey, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And Zerubbabel probably wanted to punch him in the mouth and say, I've been here for 20 years. Who are you to show up and tell me not to despise this? Think about that. It was a day, and it was a long day. A long day of small beginnings. A very long day. And sometimes when we're toiling and we're laboring, it's because the Lord hasn't finished with us yet. Number two, something I really want you to get from this passage of Scripture is that the day of small things is a season of development, not God's punishment. I said it a little bit differently earlier as I was sharing with you, but the day of small beginnings is God's promise, not God's punishment. And I think we need to kind of step back a little bit. As we're going through life, we often say, well, that's good. And then something else happens and we go, well, that's bad. And we attach labels to all of these things as though God has kind of a throne up in heaven, which he does, so it's not kind of. He has a throne in heaven. But then it's kind of like, because he doesn't have, but it's kind of like he has a bucket full of lightning bolts, and every now and then he throws one down, a whack, and he just likes to see your response. You jump a certain way, and let's call this one just to kind of fry you a little bit. He throws one down and whack, and then we say, well, that was a bad thing. And then here comes another one, a whack, and a snap, and you're brought to life, and we say, well, that was a good thing. God's not like that. God always has your best interest at heart. Psalm 56, I'm going to paraphrase, for this I know God is for me. This I know, God is for me. Say it, God is for me. Some of you may have come today holding on for dear life, thinking, if I can just make it to church. You came to hear this morning. God is for you. And if God is for you, who is against you? Who could ever do that? Come against you. It's very interesting. Number three, do not be tempted to despise the small beginnings. I have some scriptures there for you about the boy with the five loaves and two fishes. There, Andrew, Jesus says, these people are hungry. It's too far to go. They need something to eat. Go out and check, see who's got a lunchbox and how much they've got. And Andrew comes back, well, we got this kid. He's got some loaves and he's got some fish. Right? There's two different times that this happens. There was the feeding of the 5,000. I'm talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And there was another time as the feeding of 4,000. But I'm speaking about the... So this kid brings up some loaves, some barley loaves, and two fishes, right? And Andrew goes, that's all we got, kid. Mom packed the lunch, and that's it. Now, there's many ways that this is depicted, but think like five crackers and two sardines. And that's it. That's a pretty accurate estimation because these had to be tiny fish that could be hung, salted, and dried, and then just shoved in your pocket and on you went. Okay, so don't think like, hey, you had a herkin big 400-pound halibut. Nope. And Andrew had this nice little boy show up, and he had the sardines and the crackers. No. Jesus said, no. No, young man, come here. And I want to speak especially to our young people this morning. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And he's going to use little old you to do amazing things for his kingdom. I really believe that. Some of you are not so little. You're a lot taller. I'm looking at Jared over here, just got a job in Milwaukee, and he's starting out. God is going to use you beyond bits and bytes and beyond the general ledger. God's going to use you in a big way. So let's not be like Andrew and despise these small little loaves, these crackers, and these little fishes, these sardines. Let's think about it and believe that God can use us. I hadn't been to camp in a while, and Cindy and I have been going every week, or we had gone the last 3 days in the morning. Hard for us to drive at night, and so we went in the morning, and my professor was there, and I just so relished the time we spent, and I was able to talk with her and so forth. But when I was a little boy, kneeling in the prayer chapel at camp, my dad asked me, what do you think the Lord wants you to do with your life? And I said, Dad, I think the Lord wants me to be a preacher. And he said, well, you know, that's great. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be like the pastor of a church. You can be a preacher without doing any of that. And so there was a real time of father and son interaction about counseling. And I think my dad really wanted me to be sure that this is what I was really feeling compelled and called to do. And then he kind of sealed the calling. He said, this is really awesome. Let's go to the snack stand and get some French fries. And so we went to the snack stand and got French fries and a chocolate malt. It was awesome. But it was a small beginning. And it was really nice to go back to camp and revisit that place where the Lord really spoke to me. So, moving along, the fourth thing I want to tease out of this scripture is, on a day of small beginnings, take courage. Take courage on a day of small beginnings. In my notes, as I was writing, I simply wrote down five smooth stones. And I knew the Lord wanted me to talk a moment about the life of David from the Bible. So we know that the army of Israel was set up against the army of the Philistines, and every day their champion warrior of the Philistines would come down and taunt the people, blaspheme God, and so on. And ultimately, it was agreed by leadership that this young boy would face up against Goliath. This young man was quite an extraordinary gentleman, because before he took on a giant, he killed a lion and a bear. Now, I've done those kinds of things, but I've done mine with big guns. He did them with sticks in his bare hands. It's a big deal. And he told the king of Israel, "I've done these things, I can now take on Goliath." Must have been pretty convincing. They outfitted him in the latest technology of warfare, and it just didn't work for him. Instead, he pulled out his slingshot and he walked down to the creek and he picked out five stones. Some people have been critical of David, saying, yeah, he took five rounds because he didn't have enough faith. But extra biblical material suggests that, and also in one really brief passage, it's hard to find, that Goliath had four brothers. And David was possibly convinced, I got to take down the big boy, then the brothers are going to come and take revenge on me. So I'm loading up on ammo. Something to think about for us today as we look at this. Take courage on the day of small beginnings. And again, young people, when we look at the church exploding and we look in the book of Acts, we see these young preachers and teachers filled with faith. And the word tells us, I believe it's Acts 16, and they were turning their world upside down. That's what we're talking about with you. And that's what we believe in you for, is that God is going to take you and you're going to turn the world upside down. The fifth thing I want to bring out, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, is that God loves your little works. God loves your little, notice that's in quotes, your little works on the day of small beginnings. You know, in Mark 14, it's just a week before Jesus would go and face Pilate, and so many things are happening. And I would really encourage you, if you have a study Bible, this is one of the few stories that is included in all four of the Gospels. And in each story, there is a little bit of additional information. I've chosen this passage, this Mark 8, because I wanted to bring out something really special in this passage. But Jesus is at someone's home, and a woman who had nothing came and washed his feet with her tears, and then dried his feet with her hair. And then her Coco Chanel number 9, her box of Oxnard or Spikenard, was broken, and she poured it out over Jesus. And the fragrance filled the room. And the disciples and the Pharisees are just having a heyday. And they scorn this woman. They deride her. And Jesus said in Mark 14:8, just leave her alone. I quote, she has done what she could. she has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. She has done what she could.